In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah!
Puckle!
Puckle!
And welcome to the 398th episode 90, of the book.
Is 99?
It 99th? Yeah. It is 99th. It is 90. I'm thrown off because this is a Wednesday. Welcome to the 399th episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with two excellent co-hosts. The first and the first member of our co-host team today is the one, the only, the teacher of the summer, Professor Snag.
Hey there, folks.
And then we've got the rambunctious and the man who sent me a team today and I was unimpressed, Seth Vilo.
And it's not for the reason that you think.
That's very true, actually. Welcome to the show if you're new. Welcome back if you're old. This is the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name I came up with in 2007. And we talk everything here from the video game to the trading card game to even, I guess, today we're going to talk a little bit about Pokemon Masters. So
Rumble Dash, or yeah, whatever.
There's actually a lot of decent little news that came out so far this week. So it's a nice front-loaded week in terms of news. So we actually have something to talk about because it's only been 3 days since I did a show. And it's a good time. But we're gonna have some fun with you guys today. We're gonna talk some stuff. But before we start everything like we do every show, I want to break it down and just catch up with you guys because it's been a while since both of you have been on the main show. I want to catch up on life. How you guys are doing?
Good. As you said, I've been doing the teacher life during the summer, which entails me running around with the kids all day. So. But it's good. I like to spend the time with the kids, and Snag Arena's been doing a bit more Pokemon Go. We did the community day this last Sunday. We only walked around our neighborhood for an hour. We just got a shiny Mudkip, which was nice. And
to be fair, in the Midwest, it was like stupid hot.
It was. Sunday it started to clear up a little bit. Like it was overcast while we were walking. So,
oh, that's nice. At least you had that. Because for us, it was full on heat blast, high of like 98. Man. Granted, thankfully, they moved community data from 4 to 7, at least over the summer. And that's fantastic. That made life so much better. We were only out for like maybe an hour and a half, though, because we went and did a Mewtwo raid. Mm-hmm. And then we were done. We did a Mewtwo raid. To be fair, though, I caught something like 120 Mudkips. And I caught zero shinies. I was so upset.
Oh, man. Yeah, the shiny rate was really low, at least in my experience. Granted, we only went out for an hour, but like there have been some community days where you go out for an hour and you can get like three of them.
Yeah, right? You just go out and you just play and you catch three of them. And I went out with five people. I went out with my wife, App from the show back in the day, his wife, and also Ryan. Hi, Ryan. So we all went out. They all caught shinies. I didn't catch any shinies. I'm a little miffed, but that's okay. Catherine caught an extra shiny for me, and she's just going to trade it to me. I'm holding the shiny Torchic hostage that she didn't go on that community day, and I did. So we can trade a shiny Torchic for a shiny Mudkip.
Very nice.
Yes. What about you, Seth? How's life going? How's everything?
It's going good. It's going real good. I've been having an absolute blast on the OU Blitz ladder, which is, for those who didn't listen to Battlecast last week, it's OU, but instead of it's a bit, bunch of different time rules where you only have 30 seconds for team preview and 10 seconds for each turn. If you take more than that, you time out and you lose.
So it's like speed chess.
It's like speed chess, exactly. And it's so much fun. You can test stupid memey stuff and just have a field day with it. It's great. I love it.
So he sent me a team for this, and he's just like, let me show you the best team for Pokemon OU Blitz right now. And he sends me a team, and it's legitimately just a like standard OU team. Hyper offense OU team, and I'm just like, yep, that's what I thought it was.
Yeah,
and I like nothing surprising, nothing gimmicky. It's just a straight flat OU hyper offense, which coming from Seth is very surprising.
I'm even using a suicide lead. I said that the other day. It's I feel so alive.
So okay. Is stall a thing at all in that format? Just out of curiosity.
Yes. Okay. Because if you manage to annoy your opponent and make them have to think around how to get around your stall, they take more than 10 seconds. So absolutely, yes. It's easier to do hyper offense, but stall is there.
Wow, interesting. So this is a question I guess I want to ask you too, because we asked it on the last show for the mailbag, and we'll get to it. And maybe this is a good thing I should start doing, just asking the previous mailbag question at the beginning. But because we're talking about Showdown, I'm just very curious, because we talked about playing Legacy versus not Legacy when Sword and Shield comes out, and I just wanted to know your opinions on that, because I assume it's two different formats. It's just weird to me, because some people probably use Showdown for just practicing for Kart, and other people are just using Showdown for Showdown.
Yeah. I don't know. It's really interesting. Has Showdown said that they are going to be doing
yes.
both? Okay.
Yes.
Honestly, I'd say I'd probably do anything would just be for practice on Kart, because all of our tournaments and all the draft leagues and stuff we do are on Kart. So I'd probably anything that I do would stick to that. Basically, I probably wouldn't dabble too much in Legacy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what about you, Seth?
I'm of a similar mindset, because even though they've said that they're probably going to have two ladders, they have confirmed that the OU ladder, quote unquote, is only going to be what's available on Kart. So they've confirmed that from the top 100%. I've been watching because I wanted to make sure. But yeah, I'll probably stick with that unless I just get a hankering to use obscure Pokemon X. If I get a hankering to use Dunsparce. Celesteela, yeah, an Ultra Beast.
You think that's making it in? I don't think so.
I think it could. They've got way too much Ultra Beast merch right now to just drop them. And
I think you're wrong.
I don't know. Some rumors say there might be 700 in the decks, so it might be.
So I'd be okay with that. Personally, I'm on board for the 700 decks. That would be crazy. That'd be cool. I still think they should be patching them in, and they should
do
something.
Too.
I think that honestly, they have the mechanic for it, and it'd be really cool.
Yep.
It's called they have had the mechanic for a while. It's called Pokemon Gun. It's the third version.
Oh my gosh. It's only got Duraludon in it, which just becomes more gun like.
I'm a little scared that that's what's going to happen. And it won't be the 2020 game. It'll be the 2021 game, because 2021 is the 25th anniversary of Pokemon, and they will announce Pokemon, the third version of Pokemon Sword and Shield, and it's going to be like, and the feature this one has is it has all the Pokemon to celebrate the 25th anniversary.
Yay.
And I think it's too soon to rip that Band-Aid off.
Yeah, I'd be like, afraid of that
too. It's only been 2 years, guys, since you took them away. It wasn't that long ago. It's not like we had a streak of like three games without them, you know, at that point, maybe two.
But out of curiosity, what format do you guys think will be more popular? Do you think it'll be OU or Legacy OU?
OU, hands down, 100%.
I think OU because of branding. Only because of branding, though.
And because I don't think, if they do the Legacy format, it will not have the same support. It won't have the same regulation. It might not even really have much of a ban list. It'll probably be more similar to Anything Goes.
Sure.
Than regular OU will. It won't be the official format for anything. It'll be an other metagame side format that we don't even know. Like, we don't know what gets what new move, what new ability.
I wouldn't claim that yet. I wouldn't claim that yet, only because it depends on the number of people that start playing it. Because I could totally see it becoming like almost like, I wouldn't say 50-50, but I could see it being like 70% of people play the standard OU format and then like 30 people play Legacy. 30%, you know? And I think that's enough. I think that's warrants enough. That's enough to warrant like people to go and actually start regulating it personally.
They would have to do it on their own time, though. It's not going to be official.
Well, official in what capacity? It's Smogon. Nothing's official.
It's not part of their formal tiering.
Yeah, but the thing is, it might become part of their formal tiering. You know what I mean? I see room for growth on their part if they really want to push Showdown as like the way to play. And I guess, granted, that's not really anybody's problem. I don't think anybody really cares. But if it gets to the point where like OU, where you can just get a match in 10 seconds on that tier as well, because there's no other tier like OU where you can just click it and get a match in 10 seconds less than 10 seconds even. And so I think that's a big thing. Like I was on the RU ladder in the middle of the day, like on a Friday, like 2 weeks ago. And there were five people on the RU ladder. Five. Yeah. Like, I think if we get something that's on, like, not to the same extent as OU, but higher than stuff like UU and RU, I could definitely see them, like, being like, maybe we should branch out. Maybe because there's plenty of people in the Smogon community that are probably hankering for, like, some kind of council position, you know? And I can see them using that as a way to be like, here's legacy tiering and here's cartridge tiering. I could definitely see that possibility open up.
I don't know, for me, like the sticky wicket comes in is like, when do you start saying like what's legacy? And I mean, basically you dump everything in there, but you know, who are they to say like what if it would have made into the game would have gotten like a new ability or something along those lines? And the example, the case that I'm thinking about this is Gengar. A legacy Gengar, an older Gengar, has Levitate. Gengar no longer has Levitate. And I don't know, it's just something where
I think you go with the latest release. I think that's what happens.
Yeah,
I think
you just go with the latest release.
The latest version.
Which would mean like something that might obviously in your head get a move, like Zygarde Thousand Arrows. If it didn't get it and we had this split in Gen 7, mm-hmm. it still wouldn't have Thousand Arrows. So
yeah.
Because they often, I don't know, they sometimes make almost signature moves or abilities later on. Like there are several Pokemon that have signature moves, like Fire Lash for Heatmore.
Yeah, let's not talk about that.
That came out later, and you can't reverse implement it if it's not in the game, even if the move exists.
I think this is a good place to stop.
Probably.
And then we could talk about some cool kid news. So we're going to we're going to kick it on over to the news. So let's cue that epic music.
Coming to you live from the Lavender Town Radio Tower, this just in.
And on to the news. In the news, we've got a few things. First of all, the latest Community Day was announced. We've got Ralts coming on August 3rd. That's going to be really cool with quarter egg distance as well. So it's an okay. It's an okay side effect. I don't think there's anyone better than experience in my mind.
I like the quarter egg distance. I mean, it gives me an excuse to drop some money on Adventure Box and pop some eggs. So
I wish I could do that. I just can't do that anymore.
I mean, honestly, I spent maybe like $5 like a month ago, maybe. But other than that, like I'm gearing up to buy another adventure box just off the coins I've earned in game.
That's true. Yeah, you can definitely do that. The other thing that I do is I have Android. And so I suggest you just give in to your overlord Google and you sign up for the Google rewards and it tracks where you go. And then it gives you a survey the next day and they're just like, hey, did you go to the grocery store? And you're like, yeah. And they're just like, did you use a debit card or a credit card? And you tell them you used a credit card. And then they're just like, here, have a quarter. And
I've gotten so much things that way. Just be building that up. I've had,
I have like $10.
Yeah. And then like, you just drop it and go.
Yeah. It's crazy. So if you have an Android phone, I totally recommend that. Also in Pokemon Go news, not only do we have the Ralts Community Day, but Shadow Pokemon are in it. They brought back Shadow Pokemon, so it shows that TPCI remembers that Pokemon XD and Colosseum exists.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
And the mechanics are vaguely similar.
Yes, vaguely similar. So what happens is you can see a Pokestop has been taken over by Team Rocket. If it's dark gray and it's spinning slightly, this creates an encounter with them. You do a battle with them. And afterwards, you can capture the shadow Pokemon they used, which has the move Frustration. From there, you can purify the Pokemon. This costs Stardust and Candy, which removes Frustration and then gives them the move Return. I think the Frustration and Return thing is probably the most frustrating thing of this to me, because those aren't even cool moves.
Are they good in Go?
Snag can comment.
Can't comment. I do very little battling. Scrawn can comment, maybe?
Maybe, yeah. I wouldn't worry about it.
Well, here's the other question. Are Frustration Return new to just those kinds of Pokemon?
I think so. I don't think they're available otherwise.
Okay. So there's probably not enough research on it yet as to whether they're good or not.
Yes.
But the nice thing about that is if you purify them, I believe they go up to level 25 and they get two additional IVs in each stat.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. So
that's nifty. That's cool.
And it requires less Stardust and Candy to power it up.
Like I said, though, I'm still stupid upset about the Frustration to Return thing, because honestly, if I'm going to be honest about what's really cool about Shadow Pokemon in Pokemon Colosseum and XD, is that when you purified them, they always had like a secret move.
Yeah.
And that was probably the coolest part to me. And they kind of removed that from the Shadow Pokemon. Granted, it's still cool that they remembered Shadow Pokemon exists. So good on them.
I think it kind of replaces it, because it's kind of a cool move otherwise. And the good news is, if you evolve the Pokemon, it keeps that move. Probably an obvious thing, but worth noting.
In my mind, I think of this as a two steps forward, one step back type deal. So it's still cool overall. Like, it's still a positive.
It's still all Gen 1s too, except Crobat.
That's a little disappointing, actually. But I'm sure they'll roll out more, because they need to find a way to like make Gen 1 Pokemon more available as they release more generations.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's got the starters, Rattata, Crobat, Snorlax, and Dratini, and their respective evolutionary lines.
So Pokemon Masters, speaking of mobile games, just released more information. I think they're shooting for a date of like August 29th to release the game. So all of you patiently waiting with bated breath can wait for August 29th, put that on your calendars and be like, I'm going to download a mobile gacha game. Granted, it's not entirely gacha, because they did say you can grab new trainers through the story. They did say that you can level them up by paying money to the game, which I think is a place where people will do it. And you can also, there's also like a max level they can hit, but you can pay money to up that level. There's also items you can get through the game that'll help you increase their level, stuff like that. So it's that's interesting to me. I think it'll be very cool, very interesting. I will definitely play the free version, because I cannot afford another mobile game outside of Pokemon Go. I will enjoy this to the freest extent that I can. I will definitely look for the information on it. They also did reveal that in the initial trailer, we saw people with masks on. Their name is Team Break, and they are characters who have been known to steal Pokemon. I hate that in only spinoff games do we get like bad guys that just have like classic evil agendas, other than I'm going to cause the apocalypse. I miss just bad guys who are just generally bad guys, and not just I have massive secret plot to take over the world.
I'm gonna wipe humanity from the face of the earth.
I mean, yay. Okay, like literally. Okay, so I think it escalates. It was, first of all, Gen 3 is just silly, because neither of those plans are good. They're just not good plans.
I was referring to Gen 6. Oh, yeah.
Well, yet Gen 4 is bad, because the guy just wants to rewrite the world or the universe.
He's 25, by the way, if I'm correct.
Who Cyrus? Cyrus? Yeah, I believe
Cyrus
that.
Is like a 25-year-old.
Dude, oh my gosh, that makes me think of he's like that kid in philosophy class when you're in college, who like totally thinks he knows everything. He like took philosophy. He took philosophy 101. he's like, let me talk to you about Rene Descartes.
Everything is wrong.
That's what I imagine, knowing that he's 25 now. Gen 5 is just this massive. Gen 5 is a little bit better, because it's just a massive plan to just take over the world by like dominating people with your Pokemon by telling them they can't have them. And then in Gen 6, it's stupid, because he's like, I'm just going to destroy the world. And then in Gen 7, it was weird. Gen 7 was weird in a lot of ways. Okay, so if you want to go ahead and play even more mobile games, if we haven't enticed you enough, Pokemon Rumble Rush is now out on your iOS devices. It's been out for like 2 months ago on Android. So like, it's not new for you Android users, which is a majority of the market. But for those of you on iOS, which is a significant fraction, you can go play Pokemon Rumble Rush, and I'm sorry in advance.
It's fun, though, if you want mindless, just kind of looking at it while it's going. It's great for having on while you're, I don't know, hypothetically in your office doing work.
Speaking from real life experience over here, I've got Mario Run for that.
No.
I've got Mario Run for that, personally.
Oh, you're still playing Mario Run 2?
Yeah, man, I love Mario Run. It's great. It's better than Pokemon Rumble Rush. I was okay with the last Rumble game, but I don't know that I'm okay with a mobile Rumble game like this one, where you can't really control anything.
Yeah.
It's probably the most frustrating thing. I don't like games like that. But yeah, if you're on iOS, you can go get Pokemon Rumble Rush now. Have fun. And then finally, in some Pokemon news, there was a lot of Pokemon news for this week in like 3 days. Glad we didn't do a Sunday episode or a Saturday episode like we usually do. Pokemon Detective Pikachu is coming out on home video. You can watch
early too.
Yeah, you can watch this masterpiece on August 7th on DVD and Blu-ray. However, you can start to look at it now on iTunes, Google Play, Amazon Prime, Microsoft, Vudu, and more. So pretty much digitally you can go get it.
Yeah.
If you're in Europe, you have to wait until September 2nd for it to be released digitally, and then September 16th for it to release physically. So go check that out. I mean, it was a decent movie. It was like, I'd rate it a solid 6.5 out of 10.
I enjoyed it. And I, you know, it's a gateway to get other people into this thing we call Pokemon. Oh, that's kind of neat.
Yeah. The cinematic Pokedex on Serbia is up. It is incomplete, just like the Sword and Shield Pokedex. But it's a great way to get people in. They can see all the I think it's like 95 Pokemon in the Pokedex.
I think so.
Something like that.
I just know that my mom came back from watching some movie and is like, there's a Pokemon movie coming out. It actually looks kind of fun. And I was trying to indoctrinate her. You know, it wasn't going to work, but I have dreams.
Fair. I think that happened with my mom briefly. She was like, when Pokemon Go was like huge, you know, it's pretty big still. But like, you know, when it exploded and became like a worldwide phenomenon for like a month. She's like, should I play? Could I give you the Pokemon? That was before like trading or anything happened. And I'm like, no, but I wish they would have had trading, because like that would have gotten my mom into it. She probably would be super in shape now. And because she just walked around and caught the Pokemon, because she'd be like, I give them to my son who runs a Pokemon podcast. Mm-hmm. And she would feel like she's helping. God bless my mother. And so I wish that was the case. I'm going to try to tell her that she can do that now, and she might start doing that. Especially with Home coming out, if I could just get her to dump it into Home or into Let's Go or something, like that'd be amazing.
No, I'm excited for Detective Pikachu to come out. I brought my two older kids to go see it, and they liked it, but it kind of freaked them out in a few spots. But
I can see the Greninja stuff definitely freaking a kid out.
Yeah. But one of Dr. Odno's favorite Pokemon is Bulbasaur, and I need her to see those Bulbasaur.
Oh, she hasn't seen them?
No, she hasn't.
That's depressing.
How could you?
That's depressing.
So
I definitely have problems with that plot for a lot of reasons, but it's just because it feels it's very easy. It's a very easy plot, and you see where it's going. And then the main villain, he just like takes a crazy turn and you don't understand his motivation, but it's fine. It's a Pokemon movie.
I just don't like looking at the Greninja. They're too wet.
So other than that, there is a patch coming out for Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee today. I guess this is on Wednesday, so not today, but there's a bug where there's like issues if your play time's at 999 hours and 59 minutes. And I'm sorry for you shiny hunters, I guess. And the second is that there's a problem that prevents mystery gift after 10 attempts, even if the time has passed or something like that. I don't know what it is. But yes, you can go and get that if you want to go shiny hunt and your game is broken. Other than that, though, I think that is it for the news. The one thing I want to bring up until it happens is that on August... Oh, I forgot the dates. On August 16th through the 18th, MitsuriCon is happening in Columbus, Ohio at the Columbus, Ohio Convention Center. I will be doing a panel there. And if you really want to come and see me do a panel or just come to an anime convention and be like, Thatch is there and the gravies are there, you can definitely do that. It's a crazy time to do that. So yeah, I'll be there on that weekend to give a panel. So if you guys want to meet up, hang out, or just come see the panel, you're more than welcome to. Other than that, though, I think that's it for the news. So we're going to
Summer League. Don't forget Summer League's still going on.
Summer League's still going on. Yeah. They should know. It's by the time they hear this, they've got like 2 weeks to finish collecting badges.
That's so, technically enough time.
Technically, but the gym leaders may not appreciate it. So that is going to be, but that is it for the news. We're going to kick it on over to the Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. And welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. This means that Seth and Snag are going to be working together as a team today to try to answer 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions given to us by our Discord. You can go over to Discord and check that out. We have an awesome community over there, and it's a great place to get to know us, but also drop trivia questions so Thatch can use them and not have to make them up on his own anymore. That was a bad, dark time. These are far better. These are far more fun questions, because some of the like questions that these guys come up with, even if we don't use them on the show, they're typically like really cool trivia facts. And it's just a lot of fun to know. I'm sorry that you guys don't have that pleasure.
Yeah. Oh, well.
But they're going to, each of these questions is worth 1 point apiece, except for the one that's not. That one is going to have bonus points attached to it, and you can grab an extra point there. And if you have a lifeline that you can use for a hint on one of the questions, if you don't use that and get all the questions correct, you can get an extra point. So a possible total of 7 today. You guys are competing against your fellow co-host on the show to try to see who can get to 30 points first, because then you get $20 credit to the Puckle Tea Public store to buy whatever your heart desires, which is probably your own face. A tapestry, yes. I suggest put throw pillows. Those throw pillows are actually very nice. I really actually like them. They're very nice. But without further ado, let's jump into it. Our first question is, I mean, they're all from the Discord. I didn't put the people's names down this week, so you're going to have to deal with it.
You monster.
I know. I'm a horrible person. So you get a plus or minus one on this because this is a number. How many Pokemon has Ash hatched in the anime?
Ouch. So he technically hatched Togepi.
Did he really? Okay.
I think he technically did, yeah. And then let's see here, what else? Didn't he hatch what was it? Gosh, I don't know. I think there's another one. It's not the Gible, because he got the Gible, but something like, maybe it was a Larvitar?
He was handed that. No. Yeah. I think a Larvitar. I think that sounds right.
Yeah.
That's 2. I'm marking.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there are some obscure ones. You want to say like 4? Or 5? And hope we're in the margin?
I would say 4.
4?
Because I feel like it's not... I don't know. I don't think it's 6. So we'll get in the margin of error.
Fair.
Part of me wants to say 3 in case he only hatched 2, but I think 4 is fine to get that plus or minus.
All right, let's go with that. 4.
4 is within the margin of error. The answer is 5. So Togepi, Fanfi, Scraggy, Larvitar, and Noibat. He hatched all of those.
Nice. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I should watch the anime.
Yep, there you go. I don't know why I watch the anime as religiously as I do. I pay attention to the anime. I don't know if I watch it. That's the right word. I pay attention to the anime.
So my kids have been watching through, I think they blew through the Gen 4 anime because it was on...
Is it on Amazon?
Yeah, and now they're working through Unova because it's on Hulu, so...
Oh, man, that's good to know.
Yeah, my kids would be awesome at anime trivia questions, I bet.
Probably. So I've purchased the first 4 seasons on DVD. I gotta get the 5th season. It's a little pricey right now, but if you have to watch the prices because it fluctuates. It's a weird market. And it's stupid. It's stupid. Don't get me started, Seth.
This is that insane Pokemon knowledge that we talk about every time.
Yes.
But for those of you following along, like for the past, I think it's like the past 5 or 6 years, Pokemon has slowly been like making DVD box sets of every season of Pokemon, but it's only like 2 or 3 of them a year. And so we only just got to the Battle Frontier, I think, back in March. So they haven't hit Gen 4 yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Gen 4 anime is in some weird spot legally. We'll see how that goes. We'll see. But I want to at least own up to Gen or Season 5, because that's like the end of OG Pokemon, essentially. And that's where they go to. And after that, they go to Hoenn, and that's where things get weird and wonky.
Oh,
yeah. But yes. OK, that is 1 point for you guys so far. After that batch tangent, we're doing trivia today. So the next one is next question. In what generation did electric types become immune to the paralysis condition?
Was that Gen 6?
That was Gen 6.
I dig it.
It was Gen 6. That's true.
They did a whole bunch of stuff in Gen 6.
Exactly. So it's Gen 6. Good job, guys. You got a question real fast. It makes up for Thatch talking about the economy of Pokemon anime DVDs. So that's 2 for 2. The next question, as always, is your Pokedex entry question. So I'm going to read you a Pokedex entry, and you're going to tell me who that Pokemon is. This one's actually not from Uncle Oshawott. This one's from PodTech. I remember this one specifically. So it's a different vein, but I thought it was a good one nonetheless. Its Pokemon Y entry reads, it enwraps its prey in its hair-like arms. It sings joyfully as it observes the suffering of its prey. Who's that Pokemon?
It's Gorgeist.
Oh, yep.
It's Gorgeist. That's correct. Gorgeist is that poke. That was really fast. I did not expect it to go that fast, but yes, it's
like
Gorgeist.
Pumpkin spice things. I'm very basic. I'm drinking a pumpkin juice from Harry Potter World right now as we record.
I'm very disappointed because it's July.
I want it to. It's cold in my room. Okay.
I'm very disappointed.
Yeah. My initial thought on that was sound very Tangrowth esque, but Gorgeist makes so much more sense. So good job on that, Seth.
All right. So the next question is worth 2 points. It's your bonus point question. There are 5 possible answers. You will get a point for every 2 Pokemon that you answer with. We're gonna see how that goes. So, excluding Levitate, what 5 evolutionary lines have access to abilities that give them immunity to moves they would otherwise be weak to? I will clarify to say this isn't like it doesn't like blanket entire types like Levitate would.
Evolutionary lines meaning just like even single stages?
Yeah, that's fine. I don't think they're. I will give you the free hint that none of these are single stages.
Okay, so there are 5. You said.
5. There might be more because this was from the Discord and it might not have been the most rigorous fact checking.
Okay.
And you say they get immunities to moves that they would otherwise be weak against?
Yes.
Okay.
Through ability.
Through an ability, yes.
So my initial thought, Seth, is like Lightning Rod. Like what has Lightning Rod that would...
Sea King.
Okay.
Has Lightning Rod.
Okay, good. So that's one line.
Bronzong has Levitate. You said no Levitate.
Levitate makes it too easy.
Yeah, it makes it so you have to list a lot more. Azumarill has Sap Sipper.
Good. That is 2. That's 1 point for you guys so far.
Good.
I'm trying to think more Lightning Rod things. What abilities grant immunity? There's Storm Drain and
Storm Drain.
And the other one that. Something else has water absorb.
Like I said, it's not blanket types though. Either it's not blanket types either.
I don't know if I understand that.
Like some abilities would just block certain moves, but not all moves of that type.
Okay.
I'm having trouble understanding what you're trying to imply. Block certain moves, but not so. If like a move would specifically be blocked by an ability,
yes.
Okay. Technically, Tapu Lele with Psychic Surge blocking Shadow Sneak.
I will allow that. That's not on the original list, but I'll allow it today.
Okay, so it's just so blocking individual moves, but not necessarily the entire type.
Gotcha. Okay, I'm understanding it now. Okay.
Yes, yes.
Okay, good. So we get one more, we get another point.
Does Queenly Majesty block anything that Ice Shard? Queenly Majesty blocks Ice Shard.
Ooh, there you go. I'm guessing that probably also wasn't on the original list.
It's not on the list, but I'll count it. I'll count that. I'll count that.
And I think that's I think that's our 2 points. Do you want to keep working
on
it?
That's our 2 points. I'll give you the other ones just so we can move this along. So Obama Snow with, I believe he gets soundproof or.
Oh, yeah.
And then also Chestnut with bulletproof, and same with Komo'o with bulletproof as well.
Oh, okay.
Yes, so they would both take hits relative to those. So yeah, that is. But yeah, you guys got 2 points there. So you guys are 5-4 right now, and you haven't used the hint yet. The next question is a base stat question, as always, and I'm sorry in advance. This was a Thatch original. So this is a. This is what rock type Pokemon has the lowest special defense of all rock type Pokemon?
Special defense, rock type. I want to say Geodude, but there could be something even lower than that.
Okay.
Special defense and rock types.
There's no baby. A Bonsly is a baby rock.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Geodude. Bonsly. Is there some weird gimmicky rock type? I'm feeling Bonsly is a good guess right now.
Yeah.
Just because it's baby status.
No, I'm trying to think about if there are any other gimmicky ones. I mean, obviously there's the other end, which is Shuckle, but we're not on that
nope.
end.
Shuckle in Wonder Room. How many rules can I break today on these trivia questions?
Yeah, I don't know if I have any better answers for this. So do we want to use our hint, or do we want to pick one of these and go for glory?
I say pick one and go for glory, because I feel strongly that it would be Bonsly just because, like I said, the baby status. Unless it's... I feel like the three that we're picking between are... Boldore. No, not Boldore. Rock'n'Rolla. Right?
Yeah,
That's the first one?
Yeah. That's
That, Geodude, and Bonsly.
You know, if you feel strongly about Bonsly, especially since it's a baby Pokemon, I'm going to defer to you. You know the stats better than I do, so.
Yeah, I'm giving a last minute thought on if there's any kind of weird gimmicky rock. The only other one I could think of is maybe Aaron. I think we're going to go Bonsly.
Let's go with
it. Do you feel that's okay?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, just taking a stab at Geodude was a guess at mine. So, yeah, let's do Bonsly.
Yeah.
Bonsly is unfortunately incorrect. It's actually it's actually like 45, and there are a significant number lower than it. Yeah. So the answer is actually Rock'n'Rolla with 25.
Oh, darn it. At least we said it, you know?
It's Rock'n'Rolla, then Geodude. Then even before you hit Bonsly, you still have Kranidos.
wow.
Yeah. You guys missed a lot of them. And then you have Dwebble.
Dang it.
Yep. There's a good number of them before Bonsly.
Wow. That's more defensive than I thought it would be.
Boldore is even lower than Bonsly.
Really?
Yeah, it's at 40. Aaron is at 40, tied with Boldore.
Wow. Well, even though our official guess sucked, I'm glad we were dancing around the right answer. Like, we said the bottom two.
But you guys got 5 points anyway, which is a good showing. So that does almost change up our standings. So we're going to... I mean, everybody's so close. Every episode, if you score points, you're going to move the ladder around. So in first place with 22 points, we have Linnean. In second with 20 points, we have R Sigma, followed up by Whimsicott with 19. In fourth, we have a tie between Seth and Sublime with 18 points. In sixth place now, we have Snag with 14.
Woo.
Dr. Shamu in seventh with 10. Eighth place, we have Scrawn with 8. In ninth, we have Basket with 4. And in 10th, we have Jushiro with 3. That is it for this week's episode of Funko's Pokey Quiz. We'll be right We'll be back next week with another one, episode 400. Actually, I keep forgetting that. I have nothing planned for that. It's going to be a normal show. I hope people are okay with that. And somebody's gonna be like, it should have been something else, and I'll be like, yeah, it should have been. Come back in 2 years. And so, but yeah, this is that is it for Puggles Poke Quiz. We will take a short break here, guys, and we'll be right back at you with the topic.
Hey guys, I'm crashing the show to bring you this week's iTunes review. It comes from the UK, from Josh999. He says, great, 8 out of 8, Thatch & Co. I rate on a plate whilst I skate. Yes, that is spelled with as many number 8s as you imagine that is. Thank you, Josh. If you want to be on the show in the iTunes review sections, just leave us a review on iTunes. It helps people find the show and it helps us grow our community, and you can tell us what we do right and what we do wrong. And with that, I'm going to leave you guys with our topic.
And welcome to the topic. Our topic today is going to be Pokemon spinoff games, the future, the past, whatever. I mean, I think the big thing that's hovering, it's been hovering around the mind for a while, has been, what is the future of Pokemon spinoff games? We've kind of seen a transition in spinoff games as of late, from the actual consoles that we used to play Pokemon on to smartphones. Because I don't actually remember the last time we got a Pokemon spinoff game that wasn't on a smartphone, other than maybe Pokemon Rumble Rush on the 3DS.
Or Super Mystery Dungeon on the 3DS?
Yeah, exactly. That came out in like 2013, didn't it? Or 2014, maybe.
But Google knows.
Pokemon Super Mystery Dungeon. I don't actually remember. I did buy it. Because I've been trying so hard for so many years to get into the Pokemon Mystery Dungeon series, and I've just been so burned by it. I came out in 2015, actually. I was going to say, because I think that was the year that we had the gap year in Pokemon and in Pokemon releases, and I'm just like, cool, something to play. And then it was Pokemon Super Mystery Dungeon, and everybody was like, oh.
Yeah. And,
because
Sky is where Mystery Dungeon ended. Let's all be real with ourselves.
So I have played every single Mystery Dungeon except for Sky. And I think that's the problem. Not because, like, I probably would enjoy playing Sky, but I have been so jaded by the other Mystery Dungeon games that Sky is difficult to play, which makes me really sad because I really want to get into it. And right now I just don't have it, the time to do it. I might do it because I have a really long flight coming up for Japan. and maybe I'll sit down and I'll just play that on the plane. I was planning originally to just play Stardew Valley because that's a game where I can get sucked into and not realize what time it is anymore. And, I want two things. I want to forget what time it is so that when I land in Japan, I go, this feels right. but also maybe just to fall asleep on the plane. I'm terrible at that. And as are most people in the entire world, because that's a normal thing to do, is be terrible at falling asleep on planes. But yes, that's where I'm at on it. But yeah, no, I think the last proper spinoff game was probably 2015 with Super Mystery Dungeon. That's 4 years ago. That's crazy.
And honestly, I think you are correct that we probably won't be seeing them on the consoles anymore. I think it's digital is where it's going to go. Which also I think means like any hopes of Pokemon Snap or Pokemon Conquest coming back. I mean, let's face it, folks, those spinoffs are dead, sadly. Best spinoffs, yeah. I think, but they're done.
To be fair, I think the problem with Snap is twofold. I mean, people ask for it all the time. They ask for a new Snap all of the time. And Game Freak always says, because they always ask Game Freak, which is a weird place to do it because Game Freak didn't even develop it. It was HAL Laboratory. And I think it's, they're always just like, well, if we can innovate on top of that. And I'm like, you gave me Pokemon Snap in Pokemon Sun and Moon. Let's stop joking ourselves.
Not to mention the Snap feature in Go now that kind of takes the place for everything that's Go possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can take it with you, which is kind of cool. It makes for great memes.
I don't think it's nearly as fun, though, as like the actual Pokemon Snap experience.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Agreed.
I mean, because it's honestly, I think it's been a long time since we've all had a proper rail shooter. Right. And I think that was a really cool rail shooter that is kid friendly because, one, there's no guns like a typical rail shooter. And then you also had, I don't know, you had this aspect of like taking pictures of Pokemon. And I think that's even a bigger thing to do. I think you could almost take like the photo spots that they did in Sun and Moon and transition that a little bit into a new game all of its own. And maybe instead of being Todd with his like bulky camera that nobody would use today, you're a kid with a smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
And you're taking it and you're like, hey, look at this picture of Pikachu I caught. Put it on social media. Boom. I got 50 million likes. And instead of calling it Pokemon Snap, you call it Pokemon Instagram Star. And you become a social media sensation.
Oh, my.
Yeah. I've just made your game better. Not really. That sounds worse. I don't want that game.
Because, I mean, Go kind of does that. You can just download the picture of the Pokemon with you in the real world and post it wherever.
I still don't think that's the same because the Pokemon's not in its own environment. And I think that's kind of where I think that's the magic that's missing from Go. Is that you want the Pokemon in its environment to be like, hey, this is its native environment. I think it was really cool when you could do like this, unlock the secret things. That's something that's missing from games in general nowadays, to be fair. That's just like a state of gaming, like hidden little things. Other than like the random Easter egg that like calls back to like Halo 1 and Halo 17. Mm-hmm. And other than that, like type of thing, I mean, being able to like you keep throwing apples at or pester balls at the Magikarp until you can knock it into the waterfall to see a Gyarados. That kind of stuff doesn't exist in gaming anymore.
Yeah.
I really miss that. The internet's kind of ruined it, to be fair.
Well, and the thing that also made Pokemon Snap an actual game was that, like, Professor Oak would, like, rate your pictures and you'd get graded on them. And, you know, it was a challenge to try and get the best picture. Now it's, like, everyone has the same picture of their Bulbasaur or their Eevee or whatever. It's all the same. There's no... I mean, maybe you can get it doing a certain pose, but...
The only thing... Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's very limited, but I mean... That I think you could take a limited Dex again because we only had Gen 1 Pokemon in that. Honestly, you just put Gen 2 Pokemon in the game.
Did you just say limited Dex?
Okay, I'm trying to get over it, guys. I'm working on it. I think that's something you could do. I don't know. On top of that, the original Pokemon Snap, so I used to dabble in photography when I was in high school. I did a lot of photography. I got really into like the darkroom processes and everything. But one of the big things in photography is called the rule of thirds.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which means you can take a picture, like the best looking picture. You typically want to put it on either the right or the left third of the frame, not right in the center of the frame. And Professor Oak would purposely knock you points if you put the Pokemon not in the center of the frame, which is bad picture taking in terms of like doing photography, which is upsetting. But that is the Pokemon Snap rant from the Puckle podcast. I do think we're going to see this shift to mobile. I mean, the difference with mobile is I think they're I don't want to say lazy because that's really bad rhetoric. That's especially like going around and I don't want to give more people more ammunition. But I like to think they like to throw more things at the wall and see what sticks with mobile.
Yeah.
Then they like to do anything else because Joe Merrick was actually tweeting about this earlier. Actually yesterday, like on Tuesday, which I found really interesting because we were planning this topic since before then. And he was talking about how people are using these that Nintendo or Pokemon is doing spin-off games on phones now because it's just not nearly as profitable or feasible to put it on the same platform as the regular Pokemon game. Mm-hmm. Which yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I think the problem is, though, you get more shallow games out of that. Example, Magikarp Jump. but he also made a note that like more than half of all of the mobile games that have come out for Pokemon thus far are just debunk. They're just gone. They don't exist anymore. You can't download them. You can't play them anymore. Which I found is an interesting statistic. And he's kind of right. I mean, I think right now we got Pokemon Rumble Rush. You've technically got Pokemon Duel. If somebody's playing that.
They keep putting out updates for it. Right? I mean, one just landed the other day.
Somebody's paying for it. And I don't know who, because now it's like $17 a month or something to keep up to date with it.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Because they got rid of loot boxes and you just pay like a flat fee.
What?
Yeah, because there was a whole loot box thing in Europe. And so that they just changed the whole game. Like,
really?
It's yeah.
I say I tried to enter into that like a little while ago, and like it took an hour to download. I'm like, forget this.
Yeah,
yeah.
The problem is, okay, I will stand by this till the end of the day. So, Pokemon Duel for those of you at home who haven't listened to us talk about Pokemon Duel, I guess it came out like 3 years ago now. Pokemon Duel is based off the Pokemon training figure game, which was a game that they tried to make a thing back in like 2006. And it only got like two sets in and nobody wanted it. I think they were legitimately just ahead of their time. Could you imagine in like the same in the same time as like Amiibo,
right?
You drop the trading figure game, that thing would go wild.
Oh yeah,
that thing would go wild. That would be so successful.
Yeah, I adore Duel. I just like it is very very loot boxy, which is kind of ridiculous. And
yes,
that's kind of why I stopped playing. It's just because like you can't stay competitive with it.
Dumping a ton of money into,
right? The thing that I have liked about some of these spinoff games we've had in the past, though, like Pokemon Picross and like
that was a nice one,
and Rumble World, is like they're free to play, they're free to start, but like there's a cap at the amount of money that you can put into it, which I know like is probably overall bad business sense, but I still like the idea, especially with the kids game. It's like, okay, you're capped out. You have everything available for this game. Like, we bought that game for Snagarina, and she enjoys that. She plays.
And it capped out at, like, normal game price, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
It caps out
at
normal game price.
Yes, like $35 or $40,
I think. It was, like, $40, I think, for Picross and for Rumble World. I think they were both $40. Because I did the same thing just to know what they were.
Yeah.
And I just paid for the whole thing, which is great. I think that's a fantastic idea.
Yeah,
I really liked it just from like a morals perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
and I don't know. It's just the way the gaming world's going is like more loot boxy, which I don't like. I'm not a fan of it. They're starting to get pushback. I mean, look at EA. It took them 7 years, but they finally figured it out. Maybe.
Well, no, there's surprise mechanics.
Well, so like Battlefront got hit real hard. And then on top of that, the other one was like, not just Battlefront, but also like the new Star Wars game. Like they said they weren't ever going to do another single player experience until the fan backlash hit real hard and was like, we want that. And we think it's awful that you would never give us that. And now they're making one. So it gives me hope for just like gaming in general. I'm hoping that we can come back to some happy balance between like this new like loot boxy thing to like keep gaming companies alive. Because I do understand there's a huge problem in gaming due to the fact that the video game prices haven't gone up in years. Like it's been $60 for a game. And like for the 3DS, we never saw the games go over $40, and we never saw them go over $40 when they were on the DS. And prior to that on the Game Boy Advance, they were $30. But we were talking a shift between that was 2005 was the last price increase on the 3DS for 3DS titles. And same thing going for home console titles. Like it was $60 all the time since like the beginning of the generation with like the Wii and the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3. So I think that's something that's bad to have that much stagnation in price. Granted, you want to be accessible to consumers, blah, blah, blah. But I think we should probably have to start paying more for our games. I mean, yeah, the time might come for that. The Nintendo Switch is doing a really good job, in my opinion, of being very good at like flexible pricing for different games, especially on their eShop. And they're pushing me at least, and I think a lot of other consumers, to their digital platform. And I think that might help out with that. And maybe we'll see more. Maybe we'll get more Pokemon Quest action. That's something I'm disappointed by the way. It's been out for over a year now, and we still only have Gen 1 Pokemon in Pokemon Quest. What's up with that, Nintendo?
I think that one burned out really quickly. Like they put it out around the same time that Let's Go came out, and people were excited about it, and then just burned out on it really quickly.
I think the problem that one was very mobile gamey. Maybe not more so than Rumble Rush, but I feel like the Rumble games kind of have the stigma of people don't want to play them because they're kids games. And I think Quest was the first time it was just like, oh, cool, maybe a game for everybody. It's Minecraft Pokemon. And then it was just like, oh, this is not good.
Yeah. Had it been at a different time, I feel like it could have worked, especially with all the fun little square merch that you could get for it, too, because those were kind of cute.
I feel really bad because like none of this cool merch makes it to the States. It's always in Japan. And I don't know. We need Pokemon centers in the U.S. That's all I'm saying. We need Pokemon centers in the U.S. I feel like that's an untapped market that Nintendo just hasn't hit hard.
Well, we
just go to a GameStop.
I was about to say, we have one on every corner. It's called GameStop.
Yeah.
They, to be fair, though, they get all of their stuff like super late compared to the Pokemon Center, and Pokemon Center will like release it and it'll be super timely with some release. And then it's not for like 6 months that GameStop gets that merch. And I hate it because put it in GameStop. I'll be there day one. You know,
absolutely.
GameStop needs that anyway. GameStop's doing a huge reform, and I don't want to talk about that because that's not Pokemon. But it's super interesting to me. But yeah, spinoff games have been, I mean, yeah, we haven't had a real one since 2015. That blows my mind.
I mean, I could be that guy and go out on this limb and say, let's go as a spinoff game.
I don't disagree with you. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the root of spinoff in quotes that we get for the next seeable future. I honestly think it depends on Sword and Shield sales, because we're moving to a new console finally. And I want to see how the Sword and Shield sales stack up against the Let's Go sales. I find that incredibly interesting. The Let's Go sales were kind of small compared to traditional Pokemon game sales. It also didn't follow the same sales pattern that we typically see with the Pokemon game, which is, this is for all of you at home, because I know a lot of people are like freaking out, like, let's go ruin Pokemon Sword and Shield for the national decks and stuff like that. And I argue the contrary. I think they need a Sword and Shield to learn, or not Sword and Shield, Let's Go to learn how to make Sword and Shield.
Yeah.
And we can get into that ball of wax later. But I think they needed that. They admitted that that was how they learned to work on Sword and Shield. It's also an unfinished mess, so I perfectly assume that they weren't prioritizing that in any fashion. But Let's Go, where was I going with this? It sold 10 million copies, and that's kind of, it kind of flatlined after the launch date. Like, no joke, like, it's barely sold anything. This is also the first Pokemon game that I've ever seen within a year of its release, being the most recent Pokemon game, that Amazon has dropped the price on it significantly. You can go to Amazon and buy it for like $40 right now.
Yeah, on Prime Day, it was $30 for the Eevee.
Yeah. It's absolutely ridiculous how much that has dropped in price. And I think it's mostly because it was super hype when it was launching, and then it came out and then it burned out. On top of that, I think Let's Go might have been a one-time phenomenon. I don't think you can repeat this with something that's not Kanto.
Probably.
I kind of agree.
I don't know that you can repeat that. Like, I think if you say, hey, let's have a Let's Go... Let's Go, I don't know, what would you say for Gold and Silver even? I mean, Let's Go Ligia and Let's Go Ho-Oh. And you make these games, you put them on the Switch, and I think you sell significantly less. I think you sell, maybe in the best possible case, you sell 8 million copies.
Yeah. I think they've adopted some of the mechanics they introduced in Let's Go into Sword and Shield pretty well. Namely, like Pokemon in the overworld and being able to directly interact with them. That was the coolest thing from Let's Go, in my opinion. And the fact that I'm seeing it in Sword and Shield either means they listened to people liking it, or the more likely, they used that mechanic just somewhere else after they developed it. So,
yes, I don't think they, I don't know how much feedback they took from Sword and Shield or from Let's Go, because Sword and Shield was well into development while Let's Go was happening. Because people are just like, why aren't they following Pokemon? They were following Pokemon in the last game because they didn't do it. And if you have following Pokemon when there's already Pokemon in the overworld, it's going to be confusing.
Yep. I will say, though, I'm really excited. It's maybe not spinoff game, but kind of like spinoff item. The fact that they're maintaining the Pokeball Plus in Sword and Shield as kind of a Pokewalker 2 of sorts really makes me happy. There's also Sleep coming out with their accessory, which is kind of, I would qualify that as a spinoff game as well.
Yeah. I mean, we need to see what Sleep is, but
yes, I agree with what Snag said. I don't know what Sleep is. And I don't see Sleep as more than an extension of Pokemon Home, or not Pokemon Home, Pokemon Go. I had Pokemon Home on the brain, 'cause like, it's almost a spinoff, but not quite.
It's in the same realm if we don't know what it is.
It's a very enigma-ish game, because I don't think Game Freak knows what it is.
Right. And but it will have that hardware with it.
Yes, it, you can buy the Pokemon. They got the PR guys from Nintendo in the Wii U days, and they're calling it the Pokemon Go Plus. those guys need to not have a job.
The new Go Plus Ultra edition.
No Ultra, we're done
Shield.
With that. We're not going to pretend Sun and Moon didn't
new
happen, okay?
New Ultra Sword and Shield Plus Go.
But yeah, it's I do agree with that. I do agree that Let's Go is probably a spinoff game to an extent, and that's probably where we're going to see it go, because I definitely see them with the quote unquote success, because selling 10 million copies of a game on a system that has its bestseller currently as like Breath of the Wild, which has only sold 12 million copies. Well, I'm saying only 12 million copies. Breath of the Wild sold 12 million copies. Let's Go sold 10. What do you keep making, right?
Like, Breath of the Wild has only sold 12 million copies?
I believe so. We can, you can fact check.
Wow.
I think it's 12 million copies. Let me double check this, but yeah. I agree with you, Breath of the Wild.
There is no way.
Let me find it.
Say, are those Wii U sales?
So as of this is a while ago. Actually, Breath of the Wild is not the best-selling game on the Switch. I was incorrect. Only because it's not prepackaged with systems. Because Mario Kart 8 Deluxe has 16.69 million copies sold.
Are you kidding?
Super Mario Odyssey has 14.4. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate has 13.8. Breath of the Wild has 12.7. Pokemon Let's Go, Pikachu, and Eevee have 10.6.
So it's in like the top five of Switch games ever.
Let's Go, Pikachu, and Eevee? Yes.
Yeah.
I'm very curious to see how Sword and Shield do, because traditionally Pokemon games, granted, it's on a handheld console that has a much lower entry point for price. I would like to see what happens, because they typically sell between around 16 million copies on for launch, like generational games, minus Black and White, which only sold 15 million point something instead, which isn't that much of a dip. Personally, everybody's just like, we're not getting good games because everybody hated Black and White, and it's like, no, Black and White still sold well. They still
just
sold
made people
really, really,
mad.
They made people mad. And I have theories on that. Actually, so I guess we can end the spinoff topic with that. But but like Black and White. So I personally think this, and this is a completely Thatch opinion, and you can choose to disagree with me. But I think this is there's probably better words to give it. But I believe that there is a certain amount of time it takes a significant portion of the Pokemon fan base to accept a new Pokemon as a Pokemon.
Yep.
And I think it aids it to be shown with other Pokemon in a Pokemon game. And so what happened with Gen 5 is they made all of these new Pokemon before the typical Pokemon fan had said, yes, you're a Pokemon. And they gave them a game without any of the old Pokemon in it to be friends with the new Pokemon. And that's what really set people off, is they weren't ready. And that's why Gen 5's aged so well, because we've accepted these Pokemon now as Pokemon. We're like, yeah, this is fun because it's only these Pokemon in it. Da 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 da. And that's great. We really like that. And I think that's probably the big reason why Black and White was such a shock originally. And I think that's something that Nintendo or Pokemon has learned from, is that, yes, we need to put old Pokemon in with new Pokemon. And I also like these smaller generations as well. I don't think we need giant generations anymore. I think you put 80 Pokemon in and you're done. Maybe 100 if you include forms or whatever.
Give me them 140s.
I don't think. Please no.
I like new stuff.
I am not a fan of anything. Like I think you get to a point where it's not lazy design, but it's bad design. I think if you look at Gen 5 with the 157 Pokemon they added that generation, look at the elemental monkeys. Look at the genies. I think those are very telling. I think Cobalion and Virizion and Terrakion are really cool designs. I think they just shoved too many legends in that game, to be fair. They shoved way too many legends in that game. Gen 5 and 4 were really bad at that. And then they went in the opposite direction with Gen 6. They're like, yeah, Xerneas, Yveltal, and Zygarde. Done.
You know, as long as we're right here, I'm so mad that they didn't put the Musketeer Pokemon in Kalos, which is basically France.
Right?
I mean,
right?
I mean, there's that, and then also you take away legendary Pokemon from Gen 5 and you put them in Gen 6. It makes complete sense.
They did it with Shellos, guys. They did it with Shellos.
Yeah, it's in Ruby Sapphire code.
It was originally supposed to be in Ruby and Sapphire, and then they just saved it for the next gen.
Yep.
So, yeah, okay. That's a good note to end on this spinoff conversation. All right, guys, we're going to cut it there, and we're going to take a short break and be right back at you with the Pokemon of the episode. We'll catch you on the flip-flop.
Well, school's coming up, kids. If you want some cool new swag for
I don't know, back to school season, you can go over to the Puckle Tee Public Store and you can go and grab any kind of designs, whether it just be the Puckle logo so you can represent me and the company that all these people are working for, or maybe you just want something cool like a Pokemon like Dragonite Kanji shirt. It's fantastic. We got everything over there. If not, maybe you want a throw pillow to throw in your apartment if you're going to college. Just some cool artwork to put on your wall. You can just go grab some of the Puckle staff pictures that Basket put up. They're great. I suggest it. Everything you can buy there helps us out in any single way that you can possibly do it. It's a great way to support the show and get something in return. So please go do it. And I will catch you guys on the flip-flop.
Episode.
And welcome to the Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 330, Flygon, the Mystic Pokemon.
The Pokemon Y Pokedex entry says, known as the Desert Spirit, this Pokemon hides in the sandstorms it causes by beating its wings.
So Flygon was a dragon type in a generation that Salamence existed, which was really sad.
Which and then the next generation, it was a dragon ground type in a generation that Garchomp existed. Such is Flygon's life.
So it doesn't help that, like, its stats aren't great either. Like, it's base 80 minus attack and speed, which are base 100. And, I mean, base 100 speed isn't bad, but when you have 102 base speed, you're just better.
Yep.
Garchomp.
And Garchomp. And so, granted, at least in Gen 7, Flygon did get access to Dragon Dance, which is great.
Yeah.
And made it almost good.
It also has Defog, which is cool.
Yeah, that's a thing. They just gave Defog to everything. It was weird. Especially when Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon made it the move tutor. They just straight up gave it to everything. So let's break it down. So Flygon's in the UU tier, but I think actually RU tier. It's in the RU tier. But Seth has been prepping for the inevitable and made an OU team with it. To prep himself for Sword and Shield.
So, to preface a little bit, this is a team I've been working with where I'm playing with restrictions on myself, and it's just playing with things I know are available in Sword and Shield. That's pretty much all it is. And I can't use Megas, I can't use Z-moves, because those aren't available in Sword and Shield. So, this team is what I feel like, with what we know right now, it gives me a good feel of how OU might be in Gen 8. So that's the reason behind some of the unorthodox things you'll hear about here.
I think that's really ballsy of you to do for two reasons. One, we've only got they've only announced like 200 Pokemon up into this. Well, announced. I'm putting that in quotes. Mm-hmm. They've shown 200 Pokemon so far for Sword and Shield. You don't know the Gen 8 stats. You don't know. I don't think we've been shown anything good in Gen 8 yet, personally.
Not really. Maybe Corviknight, maybe Duraludon, but I don't even think those are very good, but we'll see.
I don't think Duraludon will be that great.
No,
Water Rock
type? Really awful.
Duraludon's Dragon Steel.
Duraludon. I was thinking of
you're thinking
one. Of the turtle that I like. He has really cool colors.
Dreadnought,
yes. Duraludon might do okay, depending on his stats.
It has good typing, but I don't think it's going to have a whole lot else going for it. I mean, maybe it'll be another pseudo-legendary and have... base 600 stats, we'll see.
I think it's going to be a pseudo. They seem to be setting it up to be because it's supposed to be the anti-Tyranitar that we already had in Aggron.
I think it's just a standalone, just fun thing.
That's fine. Either way.
It can't have higher than 70 or 80 HP based on calculations. It has 100 special attack at least because it knocked out the Tyranitar. I don't. Anyway, we're talking about what actually exists right now.
So, the first member on this team is obviously Flygon. This is pretty basic standard OU or UU Flygon. Choice Scarf Flygon with 4 HP, 252 attack, 252 speed, Jolly Nature, U-Turn, Earthquake, Outrage, and Defog. I mean, you could build a Dragon Dance set, and instead of Defog, put Dragon Dance, but this is pretty standard. This is Flygon.
It's budget Lando T with a scarf.
Yep, absolutely. And so to follow that up, we're just like, what other rocky Pokemon can we get? And the answer is Tyranitar with an Assault Vest, which is probably the coolest Pokemon to ever exist. And so he's got 224 HP, and this is just to take two hits from Mega Latios, which doesn't exist in your meta, Seth.
No, it doesn't, but it exists right now.
It's got 32 attack, 252 special defense, and this thing is super standard with Rock Slide, Superpower, Earthquake, and my favorite move, Pursuit, to put on Tyranitar, because it is a really good Pursuit trapper, and more people aren't prepared for it, which is really surprising.
Yeah. This thing eats Mega Alakazam. That's what it's here for, and in prepping for 8, it's supposed to eat Hydreigon, so
it's very good at taking a lot of hits. A lot of special hits, and most of those Pokemon are weak to dark type moves, and it really helps to have that pursuit there, and it just stab pursuits and knocks something out. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
You absolutely trap something in there. But let's move on. Let's move on, Snag. What else you got?
We got a Clefable as well on this team, which I like a lot. It's running with leftovers, which is very common. Item to have, we got the Magic Guard ability, and 252 HP, 172 defense, and 84 special defense. It's going to be bulky. Call Nature on this one. And then this is going to be running Stealth Rock, Moonblast, Soft Boiled, and Wish. So it's going to be your Rock Setter, and we'll be able to shoot off a Moonblast as a defense. And then the Wish, Seth tells me, is to help heal your Tyranitar. So when your Tyranitar is taking a couple hits, you wish back up, and you now have a special wall again with your Tyranitar.
I find it very surprising that Sword and Shield is going to still reward people for having legacy Pokemon. Super legacy Pokemon. Because Soft-Boiled Clefable, I think, is probably the worst example of it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It was available in Gen 3. And that was the last time it was available.
Uh-huh.
And you have to get it with a specific ability and hope that ability switches, and then you get soft-boiled. It's soft-boiled Clefable's a problem.
Yeah. I was honestly expecting, when they did the home thing and started to kind of making announcements before they told us what decks it really was, I was expecting them to say, like, the movesets will refresh upon entering Sword and Shield, and I would be mad, but they didn't.
Okay, that would have been worse than just announcing they cut the decks. I'm not. Yeah. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. It could have been worse, folks.
And then the other support Pokemon we have on this team is a Ferrothorn with Leftovers and Iron Barb as the ability. 252 HP, 32 defense, and 224 special defense. Also with the Careful nature, excuse me. And this one is going to be running Spikes to get some more hazards out there. Leech Seed, Power Whip, and Thunder Wave.
Thunder Wave's a lot of fun on Ferrothorn.
Yeah. It's another cool stop to Greninja and Alakazam, and especially in, like, if you want to play Blitz OU where everything's fast, it's really good to catch some things there.
None of those things that you just said are in Sword and Shield so far.
Hawlucha.
Hawlucha is, but there's going to be no terrain except for the whole...
There you go.
Dynamaxing.
There's going to be no terrain except for when you Dynamax.
Except for every move.
Dynamaxing hurts me very personally.
I think it's great. But on to the really weird things. So I've got a Mew here that's filling a weird role that Mew doesn't normally fill, which is kind of just psychic type attacker and Hydreigon lure, as well as something that can inflict burns, because that's important to the last member of this team. So we've got Mew holding leftovers with, obviously, synchronize, 252 HP, 224 defense, 32 speed. The speed is to outrun max speed Tyranitar, which is a relevant benchmark again, folks. Back in Gen 4, here we are again.
Yep.
And the moves are Psychic, Roost, Will-O-Wisp, and Volt Switch. Will-O-Wisp is to burn specifically, you know, physical attackers, namely things like Tyranitar. Ferrothorn is another good one that I really want to switch, because they'll often stay in and try to set up on Mew, but being able to burn it helps. And I also wanted a Volt Switcher to combo with Flygon, give me some good pivoting.
Mm-hmm.
And if you burn a Ferrothorn and pivot into the last member of the team, you can just run Train. Last member, Gyarados, holding leftovers, because this is, you can't do Z-move or Megastone. You're stuck with those. Ability is Intimidate. Moves are Substitute, Dragon Dance, Waterfall, and Bounce.
So I find it weird that it's Intimidate.
Yeah?
Explain. Like, you can still Moxie. You can still Moxie.
I could still Moxie, but I built it to be a little bit bulkier to take on big things, because okay, I've still got to have it function in the current OU ladder, and Moxie, I don't feel like, does as good of a job here. I want to be able to set up more easily and accrue more boosts.
Makes sense.
So the EVs, here's where it gets fun.
The HP is 152 HP, which brings you to 369 HP, which is a leftovers number. The speed, I'll go to speed next, is 168 with a jolly nature. And that, at plus one, allows you to outspeed base 130s. I've crafted this EV spread already to be for Gen 8, because Jolteon will be relevant. So that outspeeds Jolteon at plus one. Comboed with that, the attack is 164, which allows you to one-hit KO a Jolteon with Waterfall at plus one. And the remainder I just dumped into Special Defense. So, again, that's 152 HP, 164 attack, 24 Special Defense, 168 speed with a Jolly Nature. And you can withstand a Ferrothorn's Power Whip if it's burnt. You can use Gyarados to kind of set up on especially more specially oriented things that it resists. Maybe a Greninja stuck in a water move or something along those lines. But Gyarados can run Train if you let it.
Yeah, that's true. All right, then. Let's see, then. Yeah, that's it. That's the team. That is it.
Yeah, and Flygon you could swap out for as a pure defogger instead of Scarf, especially with Thunderwave support from Ferrothorn. If you want to more reliably allow Gyarados and Tyranitar specifically, because both of those are susceptible to hazards. Gyarados to rocks, Tyranitar to multiple spikes stacking. So you could run Flygon as a dedicated bulky defogger. It's a great Heatran counter in the current meta, so that's an option too.
Oh, right. Well, that's your Flygon team. You can go to the Discord and grab this team and plug it into the showdown and see if you can do better than Seth. You probably can. And you can, but you guys can go over on the Discord. The team will be there for you guys. You can also, if you're a patron, pick up one of those shiny Flygons later this week. So be sure to do that. Check that out if you're not already a patron. If not, go to patreon.com/pucklepodcast and do it today. But until then, we are going to take a very quick short break. And we're going to kick it on over to the mailbag.
It's mail time! It's time for the mailbag! Send in your emails!
And welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag is brought to you, as always, by the energy drink Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves. Speaking of energy drinks, Thatch could use one. It's 10 o'clock. And as always, we'll give the Green Tauros badge to somebody that we remember, if we remember. But this is the mailbag segment where we read listener emails on the show. All you have to do is email pucklepodcast@gmail.com, and you can have your email read on the show. You can email us about anything you want, and maybe we'll read it. As long as it's pertinent. And we typically have a mailbag question. Last week, I asked you guys what meta you guys would play what meta you would play. Would you play Legacy Pokemon or would you play New OU? I'm very curious to hear. So let's jump right on into this. We got a lot of emails for only it being Wednesday. So this is from Jack Fitzgerald. Sup, Thatch and co-host. First, if you haven't said hi to Ryan already, hi, Ryan.
Well, joke's on you, we did.
I did today. I actually did, because I had a story involving Ryan, because I see Ryan far more often than I used to. I'm really excited for Sword and Shield, and will be looking forward to competitive battling on the cartridge. Sure, there's some controversial topics coming out of these Game Freak interviews, but I feel as if this will be a great game with an interesting meta. Oh, that's absolutely true. I feel like that's hands down 1,000% true, is that the meta will be more fun. I agree with that. From a competitive standpoint, I like it. As a Pokemon fan, I don't know how I like it.
Just our team this week.
Yep. I'm curious to see which OP mons will miss the final cut. Landorus.
Right?
Yeah, Landorus, and I wouldn't be surprised if Greninja doesn't make it.
At least Ash will maybe be out finally.
Yeah. My favorite tier to battle is in Ubers. I love the absolute nuclear metagame provided with Power Creep. I despise Stall. I'd love to see an X-controlled hyper offense team for Ubers for the Pokemon of the episode if you haven't already. We probably have. Love the podcast, and I always feel like I'm sitting here sharing my opinions with you guys. I love the multitude of co-hosts you have, which brings in a lot of variety other shows can't offer. Keep up the great work, Jack Fitzgerald. All right. Thanks for that, Jack. That was a good one.
It's a good positive outlook. I like it.
I mean, okay, so like from a competitive standpoint, I think this is a cool change. It's forcing everybody to be in the pre-bank meta.
Yep, forever.
Forever, which I think is great. Because I think pre-bank metas are probably some of the most fun things, and I wish we would have in competitive, like, Smogon Pokemon. I wish they would endorse a tier that would... I honestly think they should have two concurrent tiers. Like, one for all of the Pokemon, like, national decks, and then we should have one that's just a regional decks at all times.
Yeah.
But I'm okay with them. I'm okay with Pokemon forcing us into this regional dex type deal. I'm okay. Like, that is the one thing I'm okay with. As a Pokemon fan, I'm going to be really upset if Feraligatr doesn't make the cut.
I find it interesting they brought up Ubers, and like, I just didn't even think about like what would the Uber scene even look like, because they might have...
Ubers,
like,
is not going to exist. Like,
you'll just have OU ban list?
Yeah, it's going to be OU ban list. That's all it's going to be.
It'll be Aegislash, Zacian, Zamazenta, and that's all.
You're assuming that Aegislash makes it in.
I have hope.
I don't, because Solrock and Lunatone were not in...
I have hope.
We're not in Sun and Moon, which was really disappointing. Okay, so this next one is from Nox.
All right, Nox. Greetings, Thatch and his coveted co-hosts, and Ryan. Mm-hmm. Hi, Ryan.
He's going to eat this up. I'm telling you.
So you're going to have to send him like several timestamps now.
Yes.
It's me, Nox. It's been a while since I've written in, but I had a great time hanging out with you guys at PuckleCon. I didn't write in for Dexit, so I'm going to do a tiny little summary of my thoughts. I'm disappointed, but Noivern is in, so I'm not too mad. I just need Delibird, and I'll be somewhat satisfied.
What two different ends of the spectrum, by the way? Noivern and Delibird.
Right?
They share a type, at least.
Now, on to the topic. I've been a huge competitive guy, and the only time I dipped my toe in was the PFTT. But I do play Showdown and do battle clinics every once in a while, so my opinion isn't going to be the most advanced. But my thoughts would be that both metas would be fun. I love playing the Legacy version, but sort of Standard could provide an interesting perspective on a smaller meta. Regardless, I definitely prefer a Legacy version so I can use what I want more freely. My question for you is, what meta would you prefer? Hey, we talked about
that. We answered that. Yeah.
Boom.
I've been Nox. Thanks for the outstanding content. See ya on the flip-flop.
I like that people are thanking for the content. I appreciate it. I like making the content. All right, this next one is from Enharmonia.
And I've got this one. A big hello to Thatch and his lovely co-hosts. It's ya boy, Enharmonia, writing in for the first time. First off, I just wanted to thank you all for being a wonderful and genuine content creators. For making my Mondays at work a lot more enjoyable. And second, big shout out to Whimsicott for thinking of such an interesting topic. I really enjoy Smogon, and I think it's only going to and I think it's not only great for training and learning more about other Pokemon and how to use them in battle, but it's just plain old fun and a great way to kill time. Now, as for the question, I think that I would actually enjoy playing the Swish meta, Sword and Shield, but I would probably use the Legacy more purely because I would miss all of my favorite bugs, especially my darling Scolipede, if they didn't get into the Swish decks. I do like a challenge, but I also like seeing my friends in action. Again, thank you for being a wonderful podcast, and keep being awesome. Catch you on the flip-flop. Enharmonia, sent via Pidgey Mail.
These have all been such nice emails.
Yeah,
they've been complimenting us. I am so appreciative. All right, yeah. This next one is from Etan. I forget how to say his name. Hey, Fuckle Crew, how are you wonderful people doing today? I will personally be doing both competitive scenes because the majority of my friend group will be on the console scene, and I personally like the Smogon / Showdown scene. I actually enjoy playing on there. Have a great day, everyone. That's a good opinion. I don't know. I think we're going to... I'm telling you guys, it's going to be like 70-30. It's going to be like 70-30.
I think it's going to be 80-20 at best. Maybe 90-10.
I think 80-20 is good enough for me, too. I think having 10% of OU is a big enough reason to try to support it more.
No.
I think so.
All 12 people, no.
What? Have you seen how many people play OU?
Yeah.
I think you're wrong. This next one is from Old Man Tuck.
All right, I got this one. Hug Life! Greetings, Puckle Hosts and Thatch.
What? Hey.
Well, I don't know if that's a jab at me or not.
Hey.
Well, he explains it. Why does everyone always greet Thatch first? Tossing love to the other hosts and Thatch.
Aww.
I'm actually okay with that because you guys deserve it. You guys deserve it.
Thank you, Top. I appreciate it. Now, to get to the question at hand, will I be playing the kart competitive scene or more Showdown with Swish? Personally, I mostly like playing on cart, as I believe that will be the direction that draft format is going to lean, as Wi-Fi battles look so much cleaner than Showdown.
So true.
Yeah, definitely. I think all the big leagues and even Puckle's League are probably going to be doing their drafts on cart. Although I shouldn't speak for our commissioners yet.
Probably cart.
while I will still be using Showdown for team building purposes and test matches, I just don't feel like a non-cart based meta will be predominantly used. I understand that Showdown is used for a ton, used a ton now, but I feel that when they add an additional Pokemon not available on the cart, the very essence of the tiering system will change. It'll be harder for cart-based players to jump into quick matches with drastically different metas. I'm sure that Showdown will actively update a cart-esque meta, but at this point in time, the news about Swish, I'm not certain that it will be overall more popular than the all-inclusive tier that Showdown has talked about. That's interesting, coming from someone who does, you know, a bit of competitive Pokemon. Yeah, thinking that.
Yeah, Seth.
I'm just saying what I've seen them confirm. The actual like moderators and things like that. They're the only the meta will be cart. That's the others will be supplement.
I doesn't mean that people will play the unofficial meta.
Yeah, they have, I mean they have to appeal to what do people want to play, and if people want to play with all the Pokemon.
That's true.
It's called capitalism, Seth.
Meh.
All right, back to Tup's email. However, I am very excited for there to be such a variety coming in the future, and I hope that it increases the new feel of Swish. The past few games have just felt like the meta became ultra stale, ultra quick.
Hey!
But I'm just...
I'm looking at you, Lando.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyways, I can't wait to hear your opinions on the matter. Keep up the great work. Don't forget to plug Puckle Plus and the coming Puckle Plus Plus channel launching with Swish.
Ultra Puckle Plus Plus Go.
Oh my gosh, can we get Puckle Plus Plus? That sounds like a fun, that sounds like a, we need, that needs to be, but all it is just like Thatch like breathing while he's editing an episode.
It's ASMR, it's just, Thatch.
That, I think that's also where we put the April Fool's episode that Scrawn does. Yes.
Puckle Plus Plus, let's go. It's happening. Thanks for the business idea.
I love that. That's too good. And Thatch, don't forget to give out the green Tauros badge, and he already has it. Catch you that. On the flip side, old man Tup. Thanks for the email, Tup.
Also, Seth was here, and he reminded me to give it out, so I have to remember. All right, our last email today is going to be from Bodtech.
All right, and I've got that one. Greetings, Thatch Batch. Which meta
that's
would
such
I...
a cool name for us,
Thatch Batch. I like it.
Wow, I have just been impressed by this mailbag, and maybe it's because it's 10 o'clock. But, like, it's this is great. I love this. These emails are just hitting it. Like, I'm feeling it. I love the love.
Anyway, more onto this. Which meta would I play? That, to me, is entirely a function of which Pokemon I want to use. Whenever I play competitive Pokemon, I first look for or build a team around a specific Mon. I'll play it a bit on Showdown and then start building it on cart. Honestly, building competitive teams for me is more fun than battling itself. I love looking at each member of the team and picking the perfect ball for them, hatching egg after egg until I find that oh-so-great shiny star of the team that is my favorite part of Pokemon. Please, dear Lord, let breeding be in Swish. Even if Ditto's gone, don't take away my frantic running back and forth on the same route over and over again until eggs hatch, crying face. Bracing for the worst, Bodtech.
To be fair, hatching eggs over, like, in the wild area would be super cool.
Yeah.
That would be neat.
See, I mean,
did we get given an egg in Sword and, or not in Sword and Shield, in Sun and Moon, in Ultra Sun and Moon? We usually get, like, a gift egg in games, and I can't recall one.
I can't remember one either, but, I don't know, I mean, just as a quick comment on that, Game Freak is, like, kind of controlling how they want the game to be played. Like, they took breeding out of Let's Go because, I mean, sure, it wasn't in the originals, but they also said, oh, we don't want people to be sitting there breeding the whole time. They don't think that's, like, really the essence of the game. But you made the mechanic, just leave it in and let us choose the way to play. Give us Pokepelago to do EV training, but also give us super training. You guys know what I mean?
I think breeding's going to be back. I don't think that's going anywhere, especially when they have a whole line of Pokemon dedicated to it with the babies.
See, I'm not so sure about that just for the simple fact of raids happening. I feel like they're going to put more toward doing raids to get their competitive Pokemon than to...
I don't agree with that either.
To quote that taco commercial, why not both?
I think both is a good... I think that's a good answer. I think Gigantamaxing could also potentially be something that's bred down. It depends on how this whole Dynamax level thing works out, because I'm sure Gigantamaxing is somehow tied to that. And I want to know if that's like an inherent stat in a Pokemon, like if it's in a new seventh stat.
Yeah.
Or is it going to be something that's something that we can work on? And maybe certain species can become Gigantamax if you work hard enough on them. And the press release is just confusing, like they can be. Like most of this PR disaster has been.
Yeah, think of it like if a Pokemon's fully EV trained, the graph changes. If it's fully EV trained, maybe that's what lets it Gigantamax. I don't know.
That could potentially happen. Like it could be certain Pokemon of that certain species can Gigantamax, and you can find them in raid battles. They're rare, but it's just like you could just get them right away, or you can train up and get one. I think Gigantamaxing has problems if it's just Pokemon caught in raid battles, and it's only some Pokemon caught in raid battles. I think that's an inherent problem, and I don't have a lot of faith in Game Freak, but I have more faith that they know what they're doing than that. Like,
I don't think breeding's leaving though. That's too ingrained.
The only thing is, if you're talking about the baby Pokemon though, I think that's a horrible defense, because if you look at something like Sun and Moon, they really integrated the baby Pokemon into the actual game. Look at Route
Very
One.
True.
Look at
Very
Route
true.
One. You could catch, I swear, I think it's like four baby Pokemon.
Or
you
like
catch
Black White too. You could have gotten Riolu. That's another option.
Yeah.
Riolu, that's a different story, I think.
Yeah.
But I think something like Igglybuff. Igglybuff you could catch. You could catch Pichu there. You could catch Bonslight. You can catch Munchlax. All right on Route 1 and Sun and Moon.
Yeah, I have a weak defense for that.
Yeah, so I think that's a really poor defense for breeding being in. I think the only way we could say that breeding is in is that it's such an inherent part of what Pokemon has become. And I think removing that feature would be taking away the essence of Pokemon. But again, like, so was the National Dex in my mind. And that's kind of like...
Yeah, we don't know.
I just don't know what's happening anymore. But thank you for those emails, all of you. It was fantastic. We enjoy reading those as always. If you would like to email us in next week, you can email us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com, letting us know what was your favorite spinoff game? Yeah, let's say that. Or what spinoff game would you like to see on a mobile phone? Pokemon Conquest 2 on mobile. That could be fun. It's just Fire Emblem Heroes, but Pokemon Conquest. Actually, that would work really well. That would work stupid well. Nintendo, I fixed your problem.
Ta-da.
Okay. Moving on. Fire Emblem Heroes, but Pokemon. Just hear me out. All right. So, I mean, I think that's called Pokemon Masters, but this is a great place to end. If you want to help...
Do you want to give up that Green Tauros badge?
Yeah, it goes to Enharmonia. That's the answer. That's what I said.
All right.
Enharmonia, you can get it. None of these guys said no. So come and get your Green Tauros badge. Turn your name green. So also, if you would like to help out and join the community, you could go over to our Discord and just join the community. That's something I noticed I haven't been saying as often, is that you should come to the Discord. So come to the Discord. If you want to follow us on social media, head on over to Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Dig Dug, or what is it called? Dig with two G's. That was the
what?
Website. That used to be a website. It was like Reddit back in the day. That's not something that we're on, but everything else we're at Puckle Podcast. You can go ahead and you can join in the fun throughout the week by going to twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast and catching up with me, Jushiro, and Orange. And I think some more people are joining the squad very soon. So it's a good time to meet and talk with Puckle people and just get more like interaction with the host. And I think it's a great time. I love streaming and just getting to talk to everybody. It's a really, really good time. I suggest going over there. If you missed the streams and you want to catch up on some more Puckley goodness, you can also go over to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/pucklepodcast, where we have some video content. We're working on a lot of video content. It's actually starting to blow up our YouTube. I'm really happy with it. And so if you haven't already, go subscribe. We're almost to 1,000 subscribers over there. Be that 1,000 subscriber. Please don't wait until it's almost there. Just go do it now, and I'll send you with 1,000 subscriber. And... so go ahead, go over to that channel. It's a lot of fun. If you want to help support the show monetarily, though, you can do it in several ways. One is go to our Puckle Tea Public Store, where you can buy awesome t-shirts, such as, like, I'm really into that Dragonite t-shirt that's on there with, like, the kanji. It's really cool. I suggest going over there, picking something up over there at our Tea Public Store. Link is always in the show notes. You can also support the show by going to Twitch, dropping a Twitch Prime subscription or a Reel subscription or bits or something. It doesn't matter. Any support you guys can give us, we appreciate. A better way to do that, though, is to go over to Patreon at patreon.com/pucklepodcast. You can get things such as shiny Pokemon, Reel, Puckle, Summer League badges sent to you. They're actually really cool. Those things are so cool.
Yeah, they are.
Seth, they're coming to you. They're,
I know. I'll be there. I'll check the mail. I'm so excited.
They'll be there in a few days. And it's so exciting. I really love the Puckle Summer League badges, and thanks to their patrons who made that possible. If we can keep the support going, maybe we can get the rest of them made from this season. That'd be really, really cool and really, really hype. There are a few other purchases that Puckle has to worry about before then, but if it, I mean, there are a couple other things hosting wise and stuff like that. Cause I mean, I think we pay like $600 a year for hosting stuff now.
Wow.
Altogether. Yeah. It's disgusting. but that is it for the show. I have been Trainer Thatch.
I've been Professor Snag.
And I've been Seth Bilo.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time. And as always, we here at Puckle would like to thank our patrons who help make the show possible. So thank you to Greg, Viger, Corey, Duly Noted, Ten Little Men, Wing Zero 87, Rob, Josh, Keegan, Ilaria, Sean, Michael, Paul, Dexio, Christian, Miguel, Apollo, Rotted Mushroom, Mr. Panda, Titan Killer, Lane, Lord Corbinick, Ryan, Seth Vilo, Wade, Marcus, King Kavik, Enharmonia, Alolan Dergs, Tank, Samuel, Claude Nine, Bodtech, Chris, Swampertata, Tori, Steve, Josh, Doc McStuffles, Cody, the Golden Klefki, the British Gent, Trevor, Mark, TJ Van Troll, Doc Knox, Dennis, Echo, Jonathan, Disco Calypso. That's so much fun to say. Taylor, Charles, Colt, Maxi, Shambles, Justin, Tim, Andrew, Old Man Tup, David Kennedy, Dark Shaggy 06, Chris, Jeremy, Louise, Franco, Justin, Locke, Jordan, Zach, Jonathan, Graham, Greg, Alec, Mikey, Kevin, Josh, Dark Flame, Halfle Reviews, Sparky, Coop, Jordan, Nick, Dylan, Huitku, Shira, Smacky the Frog, Ironcaster, Kevin, Orange Avenger, Dylan, Thomas, Curtis, Anime Gravy, Hazelnut, Askers, Joshua, Joseph, Travy, Cordell, Julie, and the Real EV. Thank you to every one of you that make help the show possible. We can just do awesome things with that. And I hope you look forward to your rewards in the mail coming out. They should be sent out as soon as this episode's sent out, or probably Tuesday. I'm finishing up the packaging. They'll be out on Tuesday. So we will catch you guys on the flip-flop.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.